Today on Rocking the Suburbs.
The world's in love again. We're all marching together hand in hand.
All right, it's time for our final Suburbs Pod 90s album bracket tournament update here on Rockin' the Suburbs. I am an ill Jim Lenihan.
And I am a relatively healthy Patrick Foster.
All right. And with us, we have for the last time this season, before they go off to their vacations in Cartagena, we have Jason Goble.
Buenos dias, everybody.
We have Mike Coley.
Aloha.
And we have Bill Mulligan.
Hey, how you doing?
All right. Our ace analysts, of course. Okay, so guys, the last time we talked, we were heading into the final four of this tournament, and that has now played out, and we now have a champion. And it will be no surprise to anyone who has listened to this or followed along on our Facebook page. And so let me just start off here with the semifinal matches were Nirvana Nevermind, 176 votes over Copper Blue, 83. And then the other semifinal was They Might Be Giants Flood, 650 votes over REM Automatic for the People, 586. And then that set up the final of Nevermind versus Flood. And this one wasn't even close. It was Flood, 553 votes over Nevermind, 167. So I want to remind everybody, this was a public vote. Anyone could vote, and people did, and especially fans of They Might Be Giants. And so there you have it. Flood, released mid-January 1990. Best album of the 1990s. All right, guys, thoughts. Should we start with Jason?
Sure. I guess quickly before we actually get to the main event, I got to give credit where credit is due. I know he ended up, being in fourth place in the tournament, or the band ended up in fourth place, but I thought an impressive run by Sugar. You know, I realized they were not going to do, they were probably had no chance against Nirvana, but to even get to the final four, I frankly didn't know if they were actually going to be the band that ultimately, or the album that ultimately emerged from this bracket. But between you and Pat, Jim, but I guess credit to Bob Mould. And Sugar, for me, I thought a pleasant surprise throughout the tournament. Now, to the main event. They might be World Slayers. They might beat the hell out of your favorite band. They might basically be nipple protectors. And at the end of the day, they are definitely giants. There was a consistent comment, and it comes from the first song on that album. The sort of a cappella thing that kicks this whole thing off, or I think it's mostly a cappella, or I guess classic singing.
It's a chorus.
Yeah, I meant, a chorus, you know? Yep. The world is in love again. And you know, when this, you guys decided to do this as the 90s tournament, and I looked at the way the world was, where we are in this world, I kind of thought the angry band, you know, the Nirvanas, the Smashing Pumpkins, they were going to be the ones that carried the day. But you know what, maybe the fact that the world's in love again, that we're all marching together hand in hand. You know what? Kudos to They Might Be Giants Flood. You know what? A nice I feel a nice feeling at the end of the day that the nice album, the out of left field album, but the nice album, ended up winning this tourney.
Hmm. That's a good take. I like that take. You know, as I've often said, we could all use a little more joy in our lives. And so if this is it, then great. Right. Going back to your sugar thing too, I think, Copper Blue was the George Mason of this tournament, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
All right, Mike Coley, what do you think?
Automatic for the People put up a huge fight. I did not expect that. I kept checking in throughout the course of the day, and it was pretty close most of the day. But ultimately, those nerds brought the title home to cut down the nets. They've consistently had huge vote totals throughout the tournament, so it was no surprise that they pulled this one out. But Copper Blue, to echo your sentiments, guys, I thought it was great that they made it this far, because I did not expect that. I mean, I was hoping for it, but I love the love that Copper Blue got throughout this tournament. Yeah. So maybe that'll prove to be a long line of sellouts on their upcoming tour.
There you go. Bill Mulligan, your thoughts?
I don't have much to add, except that maybe we should consider having a consolation game to determine an official third place winner. And I only say that to remind everyone that the last consolation game in the NCAA tournament was won by the University of Virginia back in 1979.
Nice.
Let's just leave it at that then. They can still be the last one, all right?
That's right.
All right. Okay. All right, Patrick.
Well, Tom Petty's Wildflowers, Sunvolt's Trace, Depeche Mode, Violator, U2's Octomom Baby, REM's Automatic for the People, and Nirvana, Nevermind, all down by They Might Be Giants. That's a pretty impressive list of albums to take out. All excellent representatives of the 90s, especially the last three, I think. And as Mike Coley said, what a battle. 586 to 650. I am glad I wasn't able to check in throughout the day to see what was happening, because I would have been nervous as hell. And boy, not something I would have seen coming at all. No. I mean, I just, when we put this bracket together, Jim, I don't think either of us had any idea what was about to take place. And so that makes it a nice surprise. And I too echo everybody's sentiments about Copper Blue. Excellent to make a run all the way to the Final Four. That was just great. If it couldn't be Ian MacKay and the boys, Bob Mould, making it, was great. So a 15 seed has been crowned champion. That's of true. The 1990s.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, so before we head out here, there was a request from a listener to talk a little bit about the albums that just missed the cut for the listener quadrant. And we never did discuss that, but basically when we started this thing, before the tournament started, we did a listener poll, just an open-ended poll. What are your favorite albums of the 1990s? And that ran for, I don't know, 2-3 weeks or something, and mm-hmm. people could submit, I believe, up to 16 albums, and each album got 1 point. You know, it wasn't ranked in any way, and we tabulated all of that, and that's how those 16 were, that one quadrant of the bracket was populated. But I don't think we ever talked about the ones that maybe just missed the cut there, that the listeners also liked but weren't, you know, didn't quite make it. And people want to hear that, apparently. So, Patrick, I believe you have those tallies.
I do. And I will say also that there were albums that were voted strongly by listeners, but were already in the tournament via another method,
right,
whether that be a critic poll or sales. So there were some, you know, that your votes went towards that were already qualified. And of course, there was no way to really put all that down, you know, the best we could. I think we did offer some information and guidance along those lines. But
There was a total of, let's see, 8 albums that if they had gotten one more vote would have been qualified for the tournament. And those are the following: Beck, Odelay, Billy Bragg and Wilco's Mermaid Avenue, Bob Dylan's Time Out of Mind, Jane's Addiction, Ritual de la Habitual, the best title since Angene de Portuin, Los Lobos Kiko, Neil Young Harvest Moon, Portishead Dummy, record that was playing in the record store the other day. Jim, Bill, and I were in there. And finally, Public Enemy's Fear of a Black Planet.
Wasn't Wilco Summerteeth also in the mix somehow? As I recall?
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. You're right. Correct. Yeah, Wilco Summerteeth.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Right there in it as well. Yep.
All right.
That's right. First, essentially the first album out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was Wilco Summerteeth. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's interesting. On the list you just read, Wilco did have Being There in the field. And yes. Neil Young had Ragged Glory in the field.
Right.
Right. All.
So they were represented.
And then you had Billy Bragg and Wilco. So the, like a third Wilco could have been in there, right, represented. Yeah.
It's possible. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. I don't know. Let's open that up. Did you guys have anything to say on that?
I'll throw in that, like, I think one of the reasons I was excited when you guys decided to do the 90s, I mean, like, you know, that list has also a ton of great albums in that list. Yeah. I mean, I know I definitely threw a vote. I think the only one on the list that I threw a vote to that was in that group of also-rans was Jane's Addiction's Ritual de la Habitual. But, you know, I'll be honest, I think I did it on the fly. And, like, you know, when you mention that group of albums, like Public Enemy being in that mix, and, the Wilco Billy Bragg album, I totally forgot that was also a 90s thing. I just think, again, this plus whatever ended up in the tournament itself shows, you know, why this was one of the greatest decades in music. Yeah. Weird decade. Mm-hmm. And, you know, weird decade. We kind of keep on going back to that there was a lot of different styles of music that sort of reared their head throughout. Albeit a great decade.
A great decade, and one that definitely drained my bank account, because you had to buy all that stuff at, like, you know, full price back then, right? $15 a CD or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I don't know. Anything else, guys?
Back in the 90s, I lived above a record shop in my college days in Potsdam, or my college short days in Potsdam. But I lived above a record store. And on the same week, Blood Sugar Sex Magik, Use Your Illusion, and Soundgarden Super Unknown all came out. I think it was Super Unknown. Maybe it was Bad Motor Finger. But man, I have a September birthday, so I used all my birthday money at the record store buying records, buying CDs. And as Jim alluded to, I think I spent the most money ever on music, either concerts or actual record purchases, album purchases combined in the 90s. There's no question about that. Because as you said, there was no streaming. So,
right.
You're buying CDs. But yeah, and I wish I had given it a little bit more thought, even though the some of these artists that I would have put in my list probably wouldn't have made a cut anyways. But, you know, some of the ska bands and Tragically Hip, like I mentioned the last show. But yeah, just such a diverse amount of music being played throughout that decade just made it such a great decade to be a music fan.
You mentioned the Jane's Addiction album just missing the cut. I realize now I should have encouraged my wife to vote. That would have put that one over the edge. Would have been right in there.
Yeah. She would have found a way to vote twice for that one. Yeah,
that would probably, yeah.
Did Bush's 16 stone get any votes? I'm curious.
I will look. There is a very long list of albums with one vote.
Well, so I had a conversation the other night at the brewery with a younger musician, and he's got an old music soul. He's big into the 90s music, and I was showing him the brackets, and he's like, "How is 16 Stone not on this list?" So I didn't have an answer for him.
But, well, I'll tell you, we are old, and it did not get any votes. So that may be the reason.
I'm, you know, looking back now, I'm kind of surprised that there was no Soundgarden on there, right? But
that was a hot factor.
So, all right, guys, this has been fun.
It's been a lot of fun, and I want to take a quick minute to thank everyone that has been voting in this poll. It's made it a lot of fun for us and hopefully for everybody else, too. But I would also like to say that it is fun for everybody. Everybody had a good time. But I want to thank Jim, especially because this is not an easy thing to plan. You got to count backwards for a certain amount of days. You got to build in pauses. You got to schedule out when the updates are going to take place. You got to make sure everything is correct and also released in the 90s. Everything has to be double and triple checked. So, because once it starts, if there's a bad link in the chain, there's no way to undo it. So, I think big credit goes to Jim for...
Thank you, Captain. Thank you,
once again.
Thank you, Captain.
I'm just happy I can stop stressing now about it being it being noon each day.
That's
my biggest stressor.
That's the biggest thing. And
damn, I scheduled a dentist appointment for 11:45. What am I going to do?
Excuse me, Doc, while I use this phone while I'm in your under anesthesia. And I also want to thank Jason and Mike very much for their fun and insightful analysis. And, of course, Bill for being part of that, setting the template for the analysts that we have for all those years as well. So thank you guys all very, very much for doing that. Really takes a lot of folks to make it happen. And I'm glad it worked out so well. I'm very proud that it was such an interesting and fun tournament for everybody.
It's very
and
fun.
My nipple is safe.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's very fun. I enjoy doing it every year, despite my protestations.
And if any of them are still, if any of them happen to, listen to the fun in addition to voting. Yeah. You know what?
Yeah.
Yes.
All credit to that. They might be giant listeners, giant fans. I mean, I'll be honest. I think we've seen versions of this in the past, but they've sort of faded out. I mean, Guided by Voices did very respectable against REM last year. Like, The Cure put up like 228 one week and then dropped to 50. I mean, the fact that you guys just kept on coming and coming and coming and, you know, celebrating that you guys invented the internet. And you know, I think I, again, the reason I started with what I started was because the amount of times I saw people posting to encourage your fans to vote, you know, the world is in love again, or it's a brand new album for 1990. You know, much respect to the They Might Be Giants Army.
Yeah, that's a good point. Amen. So anybody who's found the podcast, you know, join us. All right. And I'm here also to announce that we're launching a new service. And it's called Dial-A-Pod. And you can call a phone number and you can hear a podcast episode.
That's it. Right. You've got many options of what you might get, so you won't hit the same one twice, that's for sure.
That's right.
Keeping up with the times.
Yep.
There it is.
Service charges may apply. All right, guys, thanks very much, and let's get out of here. And
thanks, everybody.
We'll decide later if we're gonna do something like this again next year. All right. Go to Suburbs Fest in Knoxville, whatever those dates are. What is it? July 31st through August, or no, July 30th through August 1st, I think is the dates. Go to Suburbs.
That's it.
Suburbspod.com/fest for all the details. They are all there and they are accurate. All right. With that, we'll talk to you later. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us has been
Jason Coble. Oh, I f***ed up again. And I use bad language. I'm not ending on a strong note. That was Mike Coley. I'm Jason Govel.
And I'm Bill Mulligan.
There we go. Very good, guys. We'll work on that more for next year. All right. We'll talk to y'all later.
She said your golf is free, and now she's sighing. Blew out your pilot light and made a wish. She doesn't have to have her DB's record back now. But there's not a lot of things that she'll take back. Twisting, twisting in the wind. Twisting, twisting, twisting in the wind. She's not your satellite. She doesn't miss you. So turn off your smoke machine and Marshall stack. She doesn't have to have her young fresh fellas take back now. But there's not a lot of things that she'll take back.
I got to ask Bill this question. Looking at the Zoom here. Is that an album behind the lava lamp in yellow back there?
Yes.
What album is that?
600% Dynamite.
Nice.